To open the service, as I say many times, the pastors of different churches open their services in different ways. Some opens with a Bible reading, some opens with prayer. I always open with a saying. If you don't have a Bible, either hold him over or electronic type Bible or a good Bible, there is some in the chairs below you there. And I think it's red in color. Okay, with this. This is my Bible, God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet. A light into my path. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is authoritative. It is more powerful than any sharp two-edged sword. It is fire shut up in my bones. I must speak it. It is food for my soul. I'm ready to receive it. Now shake someone's hand, welcome to the house of the Lord. If they don't want to be touched, don't touch them, but welcome into the house of the Lord anyway. Okay, I don't think I'm going to get it stopped. It's going to drive me crazy. That flickering light, when you turn these lights off and turn them back on, occasionally they get this little flickering thing goes on. Okay, with that, today, as we continue this sermon series, A Road to Redemption, today's sermon, Arrival of the King. You know, and I forgot to share this with you. They do these daily breads. They're called Our Daily Breads. It begins back in April, or actually begins April, not back in April. Pick it up. They're outside there in the foyer. There's also the Spanish version, the same thing. So pick one up as you go out, okay? So the road to redemption, arrival of the King, okay? Arrival of the King, Palm Sunday. Open your Bibles as we look at the first point, the procession of the King. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, verse 28. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. Luke 19, 28, after Jesus had said this, in other words, you go back and look and put it in context, he just finished up a big parable just prior to this. After Jesus said this, he went ahead going up to Jerusalem. Now let me pause. Let me put this a little bit in a historical reference. The reason why I want to do that is because Easter is not about the Easter bunny. It's not about Easter eggs. Now even though I love that chocolate bunny, it's not about him neither. This event we're talking about was an historical event. It happened in history. It's been written outside even the Bible that there was a suffering servant, that Pilate had made judgment on this person, and there was by that time there was a group of people called the Way that followed Jesus. Okay, so when you look at this, Jesus is walking from Jericho to Bethany, as we're going to look here in a minute. Bethany was kind of a place that he stopped before he went into Jerusalem, which Jerusalem is only about a mile east of Bethany, but Bethany was the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We all know who Lazarus is, I'm sure. So more likely he stopped there on a Saturday night. And then on Sunday, as we know from the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter, there was a party in his name put on by Simon the leper, the individual that had been healed by Jesus. They had a party for Jesus on Sunday, and there we know that he was anointed for his death, as he makes the announcement in the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. And then as we see him start to head toward Jerusalem on Monday, did you catch something? On Monday, Palm Sunday, the church has celebrated for a long time, but Palm Sunday is not actually the day that Jesus came into the city. It was Monday. As we're going to look, and the reason why Monday is so important, we know from the book of Exodus that they were supposed to choose a Passover lamb on the 10th of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. The 10th of Nisan, around March, as their holiday. On the 10th of Nisan, they were to choose a year-old lamb, a male lamb, to get it ready for sacrifice. They were supposed to watch it for those days leading up to Passover. Then Passover was celebrated Thursday evening and ended on Sunday. I hope that's from God. Ended on Sunday evening at sunset, okay? So that's kind of Jesus' week. Reason why I want to emphasize Monday, because if you try to start with Monday with the chronology of the Holy Week, you're going to think, well, wait a minute, Wednesday doesn't have anything happening. Yes, it does. If you follow the calendar of Jesus' events from Monday to the Passover celebration, there's something happening with King Jesus all this week. Why? Because as God said through the John the Baptist, when John the Baptist made the announcement, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." God chose his Passover Passover lamb, which he identified by coming in the city of Jerusalem on Monday. Jesus would be that Passover lamb. For that period of time, Jesus is under investigation. Just like that lamb that's offered up for sacrifice has to be unblemished, a perfect sacrifice, everybody from Monday through Jesus' death on the cross, everybody, he's under scrutiny. He's being tested by the Sanhedrin, everybody, all the way up until he's crucified. On, believe it or not, as the lambs are being sacrificed in the temple, your Savior was dying on the cross for you, the ultimate Savior, the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. So that's the context. The reason why I wanted to do all that, because yes, we celebrate Palm Sunday on Sunday, but it actually happened on Monday, okay, to get it in the historical. And the reason why I do that is for obvious reasons. Number one, yes, we know that we're saved by faith, and that's what saved us, not by works, by no means. But it helps to be able to answer questions that come to you about the Bible, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his virgin birth and the creation of this planet is probably one of the most, and Noah's boat and the talking donkey is probably the things that's debated the most by those people who want to discredit the Bible, say that it's wrong, there's fallacies, there's error. But this was an historical event that happened in history in Jerusalem, just like Jesus' birth earlier, okay? So a lot of background, but now it's set. The procession of the king. Verse 29, as he approached, meaning Jesus, approached Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, verse 30, go to the village, which is probably Bethany, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a coat tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Now, Jesus just demonstrated his omniscience. You know, some people kind of speculate, did he kind of make a prearranged plan for this? No, he's God. He's God-man. He's omniscient. He perfectly knew how the events were going to play out. Nothing was a surprise to him. He knew he had to die. He knew he had to die on the cross. So when he told them what to do, he knew exactly as God's son that this was going to play out. So, like I said, Bethany was probably about 2 miles east of Jerusalem now. And as they went now, meaning two of the disciples, it doesn't say which ones, now verse 32 of Luke chapter 19. Those who were sent ahead went and found it. I want you to see this. In the NIV, which I'm using today, it said, found it just as he had told them. In other words, just as Jesus had said, to the detail, down to the last detail. Verse 33, as they were untying the colt, which some say may say a young donkey or whatever, okay, untied the colt. Remember, the idea was this animal was so young, no one had ever ridden on it before. His owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? Verse 34. They replied, the Lord needs it. Verse 35. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. In other words, kind of like a temporary saddle. Okay? Now, the adoration of the king begins in its procession. I want you to see that. By this time, John says in John chapter 11, John chapter 12, several hundred Jews had come outside of town. They heard that Jesus was in Bethany, and they wanted to go see Jesus, but not only just Jesus, they wanted to go see Lazarus, because they'd heard about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and they wanted to go see this dead man that was now alive. So there was a large crowd started going out to Bethany. Now remember, he's got about a two-mile ride into Jerusalem, and that ride takes him down through the valley, and then up, as we know, Jerusalem is set up on elevation, okay? So as he's starting to ride this donkey, several people is already starting to gather. And I want you to see this. Let's get ahead of yourself, okay? Let's keep going, okay? Okay, so we see the adoration scene start to play out now in verse 36. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the ground. They were doing the palms and the cloaks because the other Gospels talked about their palms there. And the reason why they were doing it, it was a symbolism of placing themselves under the king. They looked at Jesus as the one that was going to remove them from Roman oppression. You got to remember, they had been under Roman rule for quite some time now. And, you know, in the United States, we have never understood what it means to be under a control of a dictator, where you have absolutely no freedoms to do anything, and everyone follows you, and they're watching you, and so on and so forth. So they're living in a time that the Romans had them under total control. Well, they looked at King Jesus because they'd heard about him in Sunday school class, but they thought, here comes the king. They misunderstood that this king that was coming wasn't a king that was going to establish a kingdom, but he was going to be the suffering Messiah the first time through. The donkey should have been an indication. The colt should have been an indication. Okay? So palms are being thrown out. They're screaming Hosanna, which means save us. They're watching him come in because they're thinking, man, this king, Jesus, is going to come in. We've heard about his miracles. We heard about how great he is. He's going to remove Pilate. He's going to remove the Romans, and we're going to be back in control. So they were ready to celebrate. Verse 37, as the adoration continues. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Verse 38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They were excited. They were celebrating. They could see the end of their bondage being removed. King Jesus is coming in the city. Isaiah the prophet, Zechariah, everyone told us about this coming of this Messiah. He's here. Then the condemnation, verse 39. Listen to this. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Steve said this earlier. Luke 19:40 said, Jesus responded to the Pharisees, I tell you, he replied, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out. Think about this. In this procession, we're seeing prophecy fulfilled, because we know from the book of Zechariah 9:9, thousands of years before this time in Jerusalem, around 30 AD, this was recorded by the Holy Spirit. It says in Zechariah 9:9, Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous and victorious. Now here's the key. Lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the fold of a donkey. Zechariah told him, so this time Jesus is coming as your suffering servant. This time Jesus is coming as the lamb that takes away your sins. This time Jesus is coming as that sacrifice. But yes, Jesus in Revelation chapter 19 will come as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he will establish his kingdom as only King Jesus can do here on this planet. But this time has nothing to do with an earthly kingdom. This time has nothing to do with politics. This time it's a spiritual coming. This time is a time that you're going to be removed from spiritual bondage. This time your sacrifice will die so you can live. Amen? So when you eat that chocolate bunny on Easter, remember, it's about Jesus. Amen. So as the crowd sighted, they were screaming, Hosanna, which means save us. Now, the perceptions and the prophecy in the book of John, the 18th chapter. The perceptions and the prophecy. Now, when I pick up the story here, Jesus is on trial. Jesus is on trial with Pilate. The Jews had to trump up charges against Jesus, and they knew if they were going to get Jesus crucified, they had to make charges that Pilate was going to accept, and they said and claimed that Jesus was trying to make himself out as king, and Pilate, if he's king, he's telling us we don't have to pay taxes to you in Caesar. Okay, so they're playing to the politics of the day, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, kind of the preachers and the deacons of Jesus' day. Deacons, I'm not picking on you. Sometimes I said that someone said, I'm not that mean as that Pharisee. You don't know that deacon. Not deacons here, by the way. I better say that preference that day. I'm going to get in trouble. Better shut up. Usually it's my wife. This week is obviously going to be the deacons. Okay, so perceptions about this kingdom, the misperceptions, I should say. And as Jesus is being interrogated by Pilate, Jesus responds to Pilate's request, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus responded and said, my kingdom is not of this world. Right there he's saying, you don't have to worry about me, Pilate. I'm not going to overthrow you. I'm not going to lead a revolt. I'm not going to lead a big army. My kingdom has nothing to do with this earthly place. My kingdom is totally different. Because look what he said. If his kingdom was worldly, then he said, if it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Then Pilate said, you are a king then? Said Pilate. Jesus answered, you said that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. You know, and Pilate made a statement that I love, because the postmodernism and all the isms of the world, they ask the same question, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? You know, the interesting thing, if you go back and look at John's and the Gospels, when you talk about these different events, Pilate's wife had a terrible nightmare about Jesus, and she was warned about Jesus in a dream. She went to her husband, and you said, you better leave this guy alone. There's something about him that we should just leave him alone. His wife tried to warn Pilate about Jesus. You see, but Pilate was under political pressure. Pilate had to respond as the Roman procurer, I can't say it, the Roman governor of this particular place in Jerusalem at the time. And by this time, Pilate's probably getting fed up. He's tired of the revolts. He's tired of the things going on in the city. And matter of fact, right now, if you think about it, there's tens of thousands of people in Jerusalem because it's soon to be Passover week. Matter of fact, it started. Passover celebration began Thursday when the Passover lamb was offered up and then went into sunset Friday evening. So there's a lot of activity, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of people in Jerusalem. So it means the Roman troops were probably on high alert. They were probably getting warnings about these little insurrectionists, these little bitty people are trying to, that you know, because even in Pilate's day, there were still these little bitty pockets of resistance that were killing Roman soldiers and so on. Okay, so the perceptions that they had doesn't meet what God wanted us to understand, because the prophecies said that Jesus would come in basically two phases. Number one, he would come as that suffering lamb. And then number two, later on, he would come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they missed it. They didn't see it. You see, they all was in Sunday school class. They were sitting in Miss Lynn's Sunday school class, and they probably slept through the part where it talked about the suffering Messiah. You know, because Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant. He talks about the servant that people can't even look at. He's suffering, you know, for his people. So the possession of the king, which wasn't our earthly king, but our spiritual king, and eventually someday our earthly king, and then the perceptions that they had, then the prophecies that kind of contradicted the perceptions about Jesus at this point anyway, and then lastly, we're going to celebrate next week, obviously, the path to the passion. The path to the passion. Now, I don't usually say this about many movies. If you've not seen Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ, I highly recommend you get it and watch it and be prepared. Because if you're not crying by the end of that movie, then maybe you better search your heart. If you see what Jesus went through because of you, it'd break your heart. So listen, as we look at the passion now, as we lead up to next week eventually, the passion, we're going to kind of trace those footsteps now. You remember by this time, Monday, they're celebrating Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. And then by Thursday, they're ready to spit on him. By Friday, it is false trial. Thursday night into Friday morning in his false trial, they're ready to just deny him. Matter of fact, Peter even denied him. His own disciples, when he was arrested, ran for the hills. He even prophesied. He told them they would. Even Peter, he said, you're going to deny me. And Peter being the lead disciple, the one that always seems to put his foot in his mouth. No way, Lord, I'll follow you even to death. And later on, we see the story. He denies Jesus three times. Matter of fact, if you go back and look at the original Greek, the third time, he's actually cussing that he's denying his Savior. And about that time, the rooster crows. And not only that, it says about that time, as Jesus is on trial, he locked eyes with Peter outside where he was being tried. Could you imagine that? His Savior, as he realized, he just denied him three times. So here we go. Jesus has went through a false trial. Jewish law, if you follow it, they broke every law that they could possibly break as the Jewish Sanhedrin court. It was a mock trial. They were bound and determined through the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matter of fact, those two groups of people, that's kind of like the Baptists and some other group trying to get together. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't do it. They didn't get together. But this time they had a common goal. It was getting rid of Jesus. Listen to what it says now as we fast forward to crucifixion morning. When they came to a place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Matter of fact, Luke is the only one who talks about those two guys, matter of fact. Jesus said, listen to this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Can you imagine that? Looking down from the cross, beaten beyond recognition, sitting there naked to the world, because that was one of the ways that the Romans humiliated you, stripped you down naked as you hung on the cross. Look what happened next. The Roman soldiers at the foot of the cross, and they divided up his clothes by casting lots, gambling. Listen to this. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. Tragedy beyond tragedy, but celebration beyond celebration. You know why? Because of Jesus Christ, today you can say you have hope for the future. Today, because of Jesus, no matter how long you live on this planet, the moment you receive Jesus Christ for your Lord and Savior, you have a new home now. You are an alien on this planet from that point on. You are inherited everything that God can give you. It begins with His Son, Jesus Christ. It's by faith in the fact of that empty cross behind me. If you put your faith in that Jesus and you trust Him wholeheartedly, and you move forward with a relationship with Jesus Christ, today, your destiny changes for eternity. You say, well, you know, Pastor, of course, people are watching this on YouTube and Facebook and Christian World Media. People are saying, you know, I really don't believe that Jesus is the only way. You know, there's Buddha, there's Muhammad, there's Joseph Smith. There's all kinds of way to heaven. No. Jesus even said to his disciples in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth. No one comes to the Father but by or through me. There's only one way, folks, that you can be saved. You notice those people that I said? Jesus is the only person that died for you. Muhammad is in the grave, still is. Confucius, is it still in the grave? Still is. Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, they're still in the graves, still are. All the popes of the past are all in the grave. The only person that died for you and went in that grave and rose on that third day was a man by the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Bill Gaither says there's no other name that you can say but Jesus. Jesus. Say that. Jesus. Jesus. As I close out today, there's a decision that you need to make today. What are you going to do about this Jesus Christ? Are you going to accept him? Remember, I always show this little picture out of the book of Revelation. And as I've oftentimes emphasized, you notice there is no door handle on that door. Jesus is waiting for you to open it from the inside. He's knocking and inviting to come in. And only you, by faith, can open that door. Let me share with you this video as we close. It's called Forgiveness. Or Forgiven. Turn up a little bit, Steve, please. Turn up, Steve.
They first took off his clothes. Then they took long leather thongs with steel pellets or lead pellets on the end and beat him across the back until he could hardly stand up. Then they put a crown of thorns on his brow and his face was bleeding. And they laughed at him and they spit on him and they mocked him. And with one snap of his finger, 72,000 angels had already drawn their swords, ready to come to his rescue and wipe this planet out of existence in the universe. And Jesus said, no, to this end was I born. He wasn't just another revolutionary. He wasn't just another hippie. He was not just another great man. He was God in the flesh. And oh, the ethics that he taught. Never a man spake like that man. When you get hit on one side, he says, turn the other cheek. He never said what to do after that. But he did say, forgive 70 times 7. Count that up. Jesus taught that we're to forgive. He taught a revolution in the way we're to live. He taught us that it wasn't just our outward actions that God judges, but it's the inward thoughts and intents. And he dragged and lifted and hauled that cross. He didn't squirm, he didn't yell, he didn't scream. He just took it and said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When he died on that cross, they nailed him. They put the nails in his hands. And you know what he said? Forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgive them. Could you forgive somebody that's putting nails in your hands and you know you didn't deserve it? Then look at the death he died. Did ever a man die like Jesus? The lightning flashed and the thunder roared and the earth began to shake. And even the soldiers confessed that this must be the Son of God. Anyone that can see Jesus on that cross and not be touched has a heart of stone. cross. He said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then he dropped his head and said, "It's finished." What did he mean? He meant your plan of salvation was finished. God can now forgive you of all your sins because Jesus had finished God's plan for your salvation. Because you see, God knows every one of you by name. He has the hairs of your head numbered.
The tragic thing in this message today is you still need to accept him by faith. You see, there was a man. His name was Jesus. He walked this planet for a short period of time. He died a terrible, terrible death for every one of you. Every one of you put him on that cross. The Romans nailed him, that's true. The Jewish people convicted him, but you put him there. It's your sins that he bore that day. When he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He just took on the sins of every person from the beginning of time until he comes back a second time. You see, when he said it's finished, he paid your debt. And the Greek word implies there's not one debt that you owe anything anymore. It's all been paid, paid in full by Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You see, but the sad thing is, he's knocking. He's knocking on your heart door today. Those who's watching this on the streaming platform, this is my prayer. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess or declare Jesus is Lord or as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you done that today? Can you honestly say, right now, I want to tell you that every demon that the devil has at his disposal is here right now, trying to rob that very seed from your heart. He doesn't want you saved. He didn't want you to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He wants you. What's it being? What will it be for you today? Will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You don't have to come forward. You can pray that prayer to accept him right where you're sitting. Those who are watching me on the streaming platform, you just need to pray that prayer to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Bow your heads with me now as you meditate on that very thing. What are you going to do with this Jesus that, as you saw, horrifically died so you can live on that cross? Bow your heads with me now. No one looking to the left. No one looking to the right. I don't want you to worry about what's going on, where you're going. What I want you to do right now is meditate. Who is this Jesus to you? In a moment of time, we're going to dismiss the service and song. Before we do that, if you prayed that prayer of confession in Jesus Christ, you want to come forward and ask what's next. In other words, if you are a Christian and you're visiting here from up north, we do have a membership. We call it a season membership. You don't have to transfer your membership down here, but you can be a member of East Naples Baptist Church while you're here visiting in the season. Okay, and my prayer is, if you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, today, the most important prayer that you can pray, you've already done. But come forward, and we'll let you know what you need to do next. You know, what's next after you pray that prayer? The most important thing you can do is pray that prayer. So Dr. Steve and Sean and Julio will be up front if you need to have prayer or discuss what's next with you. And ladies, if you need someone, Yadira's up here. She can meet with you too. So if you don't want to meet with one of the men, even though I'm good looking, you probably want to meet with men. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I can do that. My wife's not in here currently. Okay, now, at the end of this service, as you see up there, there's going to be a love offering for Brianna Mills, her mission trip. So if you don't have cash and you want to make the check payable to Brianna Mills. Don and Charlie, if you don't mind, there, I think there's already started offering plate out in the foyer. If you grab up those offering plates and give it, hold up, if you want to, just outside the double doors, out on the sidewalk somewhere. And you can gift your offering to her. She's going on her mission trip. When's she leaving, Sean? What was it, Shannon? April 5th? I should have asked Mommy. April 5th. Mommy knows where the babies are going. Daddies are just paying the bills, right? Okay, with that, Della, your ride's even out there right now, too. So, okay, with that, Ray dismisses. In song, please. Have a great week. We'll see you Thursday. Remember, no Wednesday service, Thursday and Monday service at 7, okay?